Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Imagine dialing 911, getting a busy signal. Imagine dialing 911 and being placed on hold, or hearing a recording like, "The number you have reached is no longer in service." While we would never expect such circumstances when dialing 911, how many times have we imagined such circumstances when calling upon God in prayer? Busy signals. God, are you too busy to help? On hold. God, why are you making me wait? Disconnected number. God, are my prayers getting through to you? And look closely and you'll find similar complaints in the Bible. For example, the prophet Habakkuk said, "How long, O Lord, must I call to you for help and you do not listen?" When Lazarus of Bethany died, his sisters, Mary and Martha, voiced identical words to Jesus. They said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had answered my prayer, my brother would not have died." Amid our own difficulties and hardships and heartaches, we too may be tempted to give up on prayer. The question is, should we? The answer is, according to Jesus, no. In fact, the reason that Jesus told that parable of the persistent widow, as I read, was to teach his disciples, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Here are 7 brief reasons why. First, God has invited you to pray. God has so many personal invitations in Scripture, but here are 3. Call upon me in the day of trouble, Psalm 50, verse 15. Or Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Or that beautiful invitation of Jesus. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In explaining prayer, Luther said this: God himself has invited us to pray and has promised to hear us. What does that mean? That means that there is never a time when you come to God in prayer and you have to say, "God, do you have a few minutes?" God is always ready to listen. You can never bore God with details. You can never speak too long. You can never ask too much. The hymnist has said, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring." Second, God has also promised to act upon our prayers. Each of those invitations that I just recited to you has the promise of God's deliverance. Listen, Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. Isaiah 1, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And that promise of Jesus, come to me, I will give you rest. The promise of God is this, that when you come to him in prayer, you never leave empty-handed or empty-hearted. He will strengthen you, lift you up, take your worries and burdens, and give you his peace. And that's not my promise, that's his. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And when you do, what happens? "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Third, God will never confuse your temporary wants with your eternal needs. Why is that important? So often we are tempted to give up on prayer because we don't get what we wanted. God, I prayed to win the lottery. I didn't win. God, I asked for healing from this disease. I wasn't healed. Why should I pray? And yet, do any one of us ever stop to consider that God may not have given us what we asked for? Because what we asked for was harmful, even dangerous to our faith. We may blame God for that when we should praise Him. Nevertheless, be certain of this. God will never give you anything but good and perfect gifts. And that's why James wrote in his epistle, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Fourth, when God answers your prayers, He will often do so in a way you could never have imagined. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power at work in us. Consider this. Jacob prayed for protection for his family. God made his family into a nation. Joseph prayed while he was in Egyptian prison, and God made Joseph a ruler in Egypt. Job prayed for an answer to his pain and suffering. How did God answer that prayer? According to the end of the book of Job, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Admittedly, we don't always view God's answer to prayer as the best answer. During the 4 months that my father spent in the hospital following pancreatic surgery, one of my most fervent prayers was, Lord, please just let him go home. That's all he ever talked about. I want to get out of the hospital and go home. But when he died on June 5th, 2012, I was hurt. And I said to God, but that wasn't the answer that I wanted. And I finally realized that God had answered my prayer in a way I could not have imagined. In the end, He took my dad home, away from the suffering, the months of medications, the bed sores, the feeding tubes. Fifth, prayer is powerful. For many years, when my sons were young, I always told them at night, don't forget to say your prayers. And I have to admit that even though I'm much older and they are fully grown, I can't resist. I still say, don't forget to say your prayers. I don't say that because it's a nice thing to say. I say it because prayer is powerful and beneficial. Joshua prayed for a little more time to win a battle. God made the sun stand still. Samson prayed for strength in the final hours of his life. God strengthened him so that he pushed over a Philistine temple. Elijah prayed for rain in a drought, and God made it rain torrents. That is why James also wrote in his epistle, the prayer of a righteous man, that is of a believer in Christ, is powerful and effective. Sixth, God will use even obstacles to our prayers to strengthen our faith. Do you remember how Jacob wrestled with God through the night in Genesis 32? What a picture of wrestling with God in prayer. Why would God do that? Well, sometimes God needs to hold us down to lift us up. Sometimes God needs to oppose us and pin us to show us our weakness, so that we rely on His strength. Jacob prayed, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Surely that is the essence of prayer offered in faith, knowing God wants to bless us. If today you are feeling as if you're wrestling with God in prayer, don't give up, as Jesus said. Just hold on. Cling firmly to His promises, because God has no intention of letting you lose. He's teaching you how to win, how to overcome through faith in Him. And finally, be a persistent prayer, because God cares so deeply for you. He cares about you as a person. He cares about your family, your health, your schooling, and your feelings. He cares about your daily needs and your eternal salvation. In fact, God cares so much for you that he sacrificed his own son, Jesus, to atone for all your sins. And because God cares so deeply for you, this hour, this moment, no matter who you are, what you're going through, listen to the invitation of Scripture. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There are many, many reasons, of course, to not give up on prayer. And yet of all those reasons, that last one, God's deep love for you, revealed clearly in the cross of Jesus, is the most important reason of all. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." My friends, with an invitation like that, from a Savior like that, why would we ever stop praying? Amen. Our hymn this morning is 457, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Everyone, you try it out.